This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه الحمد لله اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء وسقم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وقل ربي زدني علما الحمد لله. First of all, I want to welcome our sister who just said Shahada into our deen. Alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing. The heavens rejoice with people that declare God's unity and accept God's emissaries, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So all of them, and our last and final Prophet, the seal and the final messenger who brought his deen for everybody. It's a universal religion. Unlike all the other previous dispensations that came to different people at different times, Islam is uniquely the universal religion. Deen al-fitrah, the deen of fitrah. Allah is fatiru samawati wal ard. He's the originator, so the fitrah is the original nature that we were created on. And the Prophet ﷺ said, kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitrah. Every child is born on fitrah, on this principial nature, this inherent aboriginal nature, which is that we incline towards truth. Later on, he'll say in this book, النفسu, an insanu mafturun ala an yuslih nafsa aw yufsidaha, that the human beings are, they can either rectify their souls or they can destroy their souls. So the fitrah is the natural inclination towards goodness. Like people have a natural inclination, but it doesn't mean that they're not, they don't have the obstacles of this nukta that exists in our hearts. The Prophet ﷺ said there's a seed in the heart that's for darkness. And as you do sinfulness, that seed grows until the whole heart can become black. So we all of us have a propensity to, based on this fallen nature that Allah has given us, we have a propensity to make mistakes, to err, but also to sin. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, the Sahaba complained about their sinfulness, and he said, if you didn't sin, you'd be shaking hands with the angels on the streets. SubhanAllah. So he said, kullukum khata'un, all of you are sinners, wa khairu khata'in at-tawwabun. But the best of the sinners are those who repent from their sins. And that's all Allah is asking people to do, really, is just acknowledge their sinfulness and then get straight with Allah and struggle against their own natural dispensations. So this chapter in this book that we're reading by the great polymath exegete Raghib al-Isfahani, we don't know exactly when he died, but it was sometime in the early or mid 5th century of Hijrah. He precedes Imam al-Ghazali by, Imam al-Ghazali is born in 450, but Imam al-Ghazali benefited greatly from this scholar. He knew his books. It's said that he memorized the Dari'ah, which is one of probably his most famous book after the Mufradat, which is the book of the Quran. So we did the first chapter and then also the different chapter headings. And now this chapter, which is called Bab al-Awwal. So the Arabs call the chapter Bab, the door. So a chapter is like a door into, the book is like a house, and each chapter is like a room. So you have Bab, and so you're entering into the first door. So Bab al-Awwal is ma'rifatul insani nafsahu. It is the knowledge, ma'rifa, of the human being, of his own self or her own self or soul. So the nafs is one of these equivocal words in Arabic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Isa, ta'lamu ma fi nafsika, you know what's in my nafs, but I don't know what's in your nafs. So he attributed to Allah a nafs. And there, it's the nafs is the essence, the will also, because part of the nafs is will, the irada. You know, so you know what I'm intending, I don't know yours. So nafs, which in Hebrew is nefesh, and in Hebrew it means blood, it means soul, and it's equivocal in Hebrew as well. So it can mean the good soul, it can also mean the negative aspects of the soul. For those, because I know some of you are studying these things, Maimonides, Moshe bin Mamun, in his Dalil al-Hayran, the Guide to the Perplexed, has a section on the nefesh, explaining the nature of the nefesh in the Old Testament. So the nafs is the ruh, it's the qalb, it's the aqal, it's the sir. These are all considered synonyms, but they're looking at it from different perspectives. So the aqal is the ruh, it's an immaterial thing, the intellect, it's immaterial. It's not material, it's immaterial. So consciousness is immaterial. So even though we experience through the vehicle of the sensoria, so we have these five senses, and that's how we come to know the world. But consciousness is a qualitative experience, not a quantitative experience. We can quantify things we see and experience, but we can't quantify experience itself. It's not something that you can measure. You can't measure your experience of red. You can measure the amount of redness in this carpet, we could measure it, but the experience of redness, of the quality, of the color of redness, you can't. It's an immaterial thing. It doesn't have quantification. It's qualitative. And so the aqal, when it moves towards ma'qulat, when it moves towards intelligibles, it's called aqal. And then it's a qalb when it moves either towards ta'a or ma'asiyah. The qalb is yataqalab. It's something that yaqlib. It goes up and down. It undulates. And then the ruh is directed towards the spiritual matters. Qaddasallahu sirrahu. The sir is the refined. It's sanctified. It's that essence that we have. Shaykh Ibn al-Habib, he says, لو عرف الإنسان لذة لو عرف الإنسان قيمة قلبه لأنفق كل الكل من غير فترتي. If the human being only knew the value of its heart, of the human heart, it would expend everything that it had without any hesitation. It would expend everything it had in order to save that heart. وَلَوْ أَدْرَكَ الْإِنسَانُ لَذَّةَ سِرِّهِ لَقَارَنَ أَنْفَاسَ الْخُرُوجِ بِعَبْرَتِ. And if the human being realized the delight of its own secret, the sir of the human being in the human heart, then every breath that exits us would be accompanied with a tear of joy. Which is very interesting, because abra in Arabic, you see, abra is from abara, you know, abara, which means to cross. It's so when we nu'abbiru, when we speak, we're articulating what's in our hearts. So we take what's in our hearts, what's known to us, and we make it known to another. So there's a ta'bir. It's ma'bara, is a bridge. So language is a bridge to take what's in your heart and known to you, and enable another to know it. That's what ta'bir is. And that's why the Ibriya and Arabiya are related. The Ibriya and Arabiya. So, A'raba yu'ribu an nafsihi. This is the ishtiqaq al-akbar in derivations. They're related. A'raba and abara are related. So the Ibra is the lesson that you discern from life. Your Ibra. Fa'tabiru ya ulil absar. Reflect deeply, people who have basar, that can see things, that can understand things. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. So when you take the ibra, that's what the ibra is, the lesson. When you discern the lessons of life, as God gives you lessons, because life will challenge you. Ibn Atalah, he says, مَنْ لَمْ يُقْبِلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِمُلَاطَفَةِ الْإِحْسَانِ قِيدَ إِلَيْهِ بِسَلَاسَلِ الْإِمْتِحَانِ. If you do not direct yourself to God
from all of the ihsan that God has shown you, then you will be driven to God in the chains of tribulation. So you're either in ni'mah or in niqmah. You're either in ta'a or you're in ma'asiyah. But from our perspective, in our tradition I mean, they're all bala from Allah. Ni'mah is a bala, and blessing is a tribulation, but so is hardship and difficulty. They're also tribulations. لِيُخَفِّفْ عَنْكَ in order, بَلَاؤُكَ in order to lighten the load of your tribulation is that العلم بأنه سبحانه وتعالى المبلي لك is the knowledge that he's the one testing you. That will lighten the load of your tribulation. So the ibra, once you get the ibra, the abra happens. So the kasra of ibra, you know, the inkisar, the breaking down of the self through tribulations and trials and lessons from life, gives the fath of abra, which is tears. The tears will start to flow. إِذَا اتَّخَذَ الْعِبْرَ سَالَتَ الْعَبْرَ When you get the lesson, the tears will flow. So and they're either tears of joy or tears of remorse, you know, from the foolishness that the human being does. So ma'rifatul insani nafsahu. The word in Arabic ma'rifa is from arafa ya'rifu. The arif is the one who knows. We don't have a good word for it in English to describe, because the arif is different from alam. You know, the alim, an alim, alim is an attribute of God. Arif is not an attribute of God. It's used rarely in the hadith, but it's used majaz. It's not used God, because ma'rifah is muktasaba. It comes, it's acquired knowledge. It's not like ilm can be just, we just know things. There's certain things that are ma'lum. Like you know two is greater than one. You don't know how you know that. You just know that. Nobody taught you that. You can't teach somebody that. It's self-evident. It's a priori knowledge. That's ilm. Ma'rifah is something that comes over time. And so learning, the ma'rifah al-insan nafsuhu is, he's saying now, he's going to tell us what it is and why it's necessary. So he says, قَالَتَ الْحُكَمَاءُ مَرَّ That when in the books traditionally when they say hukama, generally they mean the philosophers, but it can mean sages, wise people. The hakim is somebody who's wise. Hakama means to judge. Ahkama means to master. So hikmah is wisdom. Hukam is judgment. So you judge with wisdom, hopefully, phronesis, with some kind of prudential understanding. So when he says qadat al-hukama, he's talking about the wise, the people of wisdom. They have said, أول ما يلزم الإنسان معرفة نفسه. The first thing that is necessary for the human being is to know himself or herself. And again, insan is neither male nor female. I mean, I'm going to use male pronouns generally because this is how we do it traditionally in English. I mean, I know it's no longer politically correct to do that, but it makes things easier to have. I mean, in Arabic, you have dhakar and mudhakar and mu'annath, but in Arabic, you have things that are in the feminine form that are masculine, you have things that are in the masculine form that are feminine, like allama is feminine form, but it means like a great scholar. Ajuz, you know, ajuz is old person, it's male or female. Because when you get to a certain age, we're just ajuz. Yeah. So he says, وَقَالُوا مَرَّةً And another time they said, أَوَّلُ مَا يَلْزِمُ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى That what the first obligation is to know God, to know Allah. وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَ هَذَيْنَ الْقَوْلَيْنِ مُنَافَةً There's no contradiction in these two statements. He's saying there is no contradiction between ma'rifatullah wa ma'rifatun nafs. And he's going to explain why. فَإِنُّوا مَعَنُوا بِالْأَوَّلِي حَيْثُ قَالُوا مَعْرِفَةُ النَّفْسِ الْأَوَّلَ مِنْ حَيْثُ التَّرْتِيبُ الصِّنَاعِ So they meant with the first one, when they said ma'rifatu nafs, the first from the perspective of the tartiba sina'i, which is the createdness, the wujud, the existence of the human being, that we come into the world, the first thing we know is ourselves and the world. This is where we begin. I'm here, you know, the Cartesian doubt began with that, right? Like he starts asking himself all these questions, and he got to the point where he said, you know, I think, therefore I am. Like I'm aware of myself. So that's the beginning of his pursuit. So then he says, وَعَنُوا بِالْأَوَّلِ أَيْضًا حَيْثُ قَالُوا مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ الْأَوَّلَ مِنْ حَيْثُ الشَّرَفُ وَالْفَضْرُ فَإِنَّ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ هُوَ أَفْضَلُ الْمَعَارِفُ وَأَشْرَفُهَا. And they meant by the second, when they said the knowledge of God, they meant that from the sharaf and the fadl, from the virtue, the stature, the honor of that knowledge. So obviously knowing God is a much more honorable and great thing than knowing oneself. That's his point. And so that's what they meant by those two different. Now he's going to go in to detail about this. وَفِي مَعْرِفَةَ النَّفْسِ اطِّلَاعٌ عَلَى أُمُورٍ كَثِيرًا. In knowledge of the soul, of the human soul, of the self, is اطِّلَاع here, it can mean different things, you know, examination, knowledge, it can be a study, but it's cognizance. There's an awareness of several things in knowing this. So once you know yourself, you become aware of all these other things. The first one, أحدها أنه بواسطتها يتوصل الإنسان إلى معرفة غيرها. By knowing oneself, one can achieve knowledge of other than the self. Because there's the self and the world. And on the one hand, we're not separate from the world, but on the other hand, our experience is separateness. We experience the world as separate from ourselves. So we come into the world, and there's these things. So a physicist will tell you, well, there's really no separation. It's all atoms, and there's a field, and it's just different, you know, different aspects of the same reality, right? But we experience separateness. Like I'm in my body, I'm an embodied being. You're all in your bodies. I see you, I see separate bodies. You have faces, they're the same faces, two eyes, a nose, mouth, all these things. But yet, each one of you is unique in your individuality. And so this is something, is one of the miracles of God that he made on the planet. Now there's like 7 billion people, and every single one of them has their own unique set of fingerprints, has their own unique face, that even these computers, massive computers, can do facial recognition and determine each one of these, and yet we're all made up of the same basic constituents. So that knowledge of the self will enable you to have a knowledge of the world. وَمَنْ جَهِلَهَا جَهِلَ كُلَّ مَا عَدَهَا. But if you are ignorant of your own soul, then you're ignorant of everything else. You're ignorant of everything else. And then he says, وَالثَّانِي, so that's the first. وَالثَّانِي أَنَّ نَفْسَ الْإِنسَانِ مَجْمَعُ الْمَوْجُودَاتِ. The human being is the aggregate, it's the junction of all existent things. Now this is something that was well understood in the pre-modern world, and modern people have really lost the knowledge of this. Imam Ali said, تَحْسِبُ نَفْسَكَ جِرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ وَفِيكَ انْطَوَى الْعَلَمَ الْأَكْبَرُ. You think yourself to be an insignificant thing, and yet in you the whole cosmos exists. So he's saying, we are the مَجْمَعَ الْمَوْجُودَاتِ كَمَا نُبَيِّنُ بَعْدِ. We're going to clarify this later. فَمَنْ عَرَفَهَا فَقَدْ عَرَفَ الْمَوْجُودَاتِ. If you know your soul, you know all of existence. وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنُهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَافِرُونَ. This is really interesting. One of the most extraordinary things about this man as a scholar is that he basically will always substantiate what he says by a verse from the Quran. And he has immense ability to very creatively pull meanings out of the Quran that are clearly there, but maybe most people would not have seen it. So he has this fath here. So he says, have they not reflected on themselves And then مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. God has not created the heavens and the earth. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, except with truth. So reflecting on yourselves is going to lead to a knowledge of the creation of the heavens and the earth. It's going to lead to a knowledge of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And then he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَافِرُونَ. And there are many, many people amongst humanity that are denying the meeting with their Lord. They're denying it. So look what he says here. And this is in Surah Ar-Rum, you know, the Europeans, very interesting. تَنْبِيهًا عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُمْ لَوْ تَدَبَّرُوا أَنفُسُهُمْ وَعَرَفُوهَا وَعَرَفُوا بِمَعْرِفَتِهَا حَقَائِقَ الْمَوْجُودَاتِ فَانِيهَا وَبَاقِيهَا وَعَرَفُوا بِهَا حَقِيقَةَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَمَا أَنْكَرُوا الْبَعْثَ الَّذِي هُوَ لِقَاءُ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا لِقِلَّةِ تَفَكُّرِهِمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ وَفِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا. So he says that this verse in Surah Ar-Rum is to call to our attention the fact that had we reflected deeply, لو تدبروا أنفسهم, had they reflected on themselves. تدبر in Arabic is a really amazing word, because دبر is the end of something, it's the back of something. So تدبر is to go to get to the root of it, to get to the cause. To get, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Don't they think deeply about this Quran? Don't they go to turn your back? You know, in the Quran it talks about they وَلُوا أَدْبَارَهُمْ, they turn their backs. So that is to get to the other side. Like تدبر is to get to the other side, to penetrate something until you get to the end of it. And so he's saying, reflect deeply on the selves. If they did, they would know them. They would know their selves. And they would know the ma'rifa of their selves. And through that ma'rifa of the self, through that knowledge of the self, they would know the reality of all created things. They would know the reality of all created things. Faniha wa baqiha. Faniha wa baqiha. Sab'un min al-makhluqati ghayru faniya. Right, العرش والكرسي ثم هاوية. The وقلم ولوح والأرواح في جنة في ظلها نرتاح. Those are the seven things that are they're avieternal. In scholastic language, they have a beginning but they don't have an end. So he'll know in understanding this, he will penetrate the secrets of reality, what's permanent and what's impermanent. And then he says, and they would not deny the resurrection, الَّذِي هُوَ لِقَاءُ رَبِّهِمْ, which is the meeting with their Lord, إِلَّا لِقِلَّةِ تَفَكُّرِهِمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. It's only because they have failed to think deeply about themselves. That is why they end up denying the resurrection. If they would contemplate deeply their own nature and their own selves, they would arrive at this knowledge. They would arrive at it. So, and this is through God. God will enable them. And this is, and then he says, وَفِي خَرْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and they would understand the createdness of the heavens and the earth. I mean, if you look, you know, the ancients thought the heavens and the earth were eternal. They thought they were always here. That was the view of Aristotle. That was the view of the philosophers. The prophets came along. They said, no, this is ex nihilo, came out of nothing. So the scientists of their time, they denied. Now the scientists of our time, they say, oh, it had a beginning. Right? This is what they say now. So they confirm what the prophets say. So the same thing, the philosophers in the ancient times, they denied the resurrection. But the prophet said, no, you're going to be resurrected. You'll be recreated. And then the modern people, they say, oh, there's no resurrection. There's nothing after this. So we believe the prophets in the first one. It turned out they were true. And that's why we should believe the prophets. Why would they lie to us? Why would they tell these stories? They're not like the royal lie of Socrates. There's no reason for them to tell these things. They're all inspired with the same truths. So then he says, Allah says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. And then the verse, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِي أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. So we will show them our signs. And this is also very interesting that the Quran calls the verses, there's two books. There's the Kitab al-Tadwini and Kitab al-Takwini. So the book of the cosmos is a book to be read. It's signs. The book of the cosmos has signs. But then there's the book of revelation. So Allah has two books. He has the book of His creation, which this is the ancient peoples. This was the revelation that many of the ancient peoples, the aboriginal peoples, this was their revelation. And they saw the signs. Like even here, native peoples here, they believed in one God. They had Tawheed. If you go to the Lakota people or the Pawnee people, the Shoshone, they believed in one God. They weren't mushrikun. They didn't have idols. They believed in one God. They have different names for that God. The Dene people have their name. The Iroquois people had their name, but they all believed in one God. See, but the book that they had was nature. That's what indicated to them the one God behind the book of nature. So he says, Sanurihim, Ibn Ajiba says the seen here, which normally means for future, is used, but it will continue to be shown. There are things that have already been shown. So in other words, we will continue to show. That's more what it means. Sanurihim ayatina. We will continue to show them our signs. In the horizon. Now what is the horizon? Well, what's a horizon? Musab. Yeah, so the horizon, right, is the edge of the earth. But what is that? What's happening at the horizon? What's happening at the horizon? It's the meeting place of the heavens and the earth. It's where the heavens and the earth meet. That's what the horizon. It's amazing that we have this dome and we don't think about it. We always think of the sama as over us. But the sama, actually, we look at the horizon, we can see the earth. So the afaq is the meeting place of the heavens and the earth. So where are we? We are the meeting place of the heavens and the earth. Allah has made us the meeting place of the heavens and the earth. When Allah says, إِنَّ فِي خَرْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ أَوْ لِلْعَالِمِينَ. The khalq of the samawat and the ard in balagha, this is like tibaq, right? Where you take two opposites, the heavens and the earth. So sure, verily in the creation and the heavens and the earth, and in the varieties of your tongues and your complexions. Your tongues and your complexions. So the muqabala there, you have heavens and earth, you have tongues and complexions. Language is from heaven. Complexions are from the earth. So Allah has made these signs. The language is from heaven. That's where it came from. Allama Adam al-Asma. Where did he learn all the words? Where did Allah imprint in him what Chomsky called universal grammar, which was known by the Iraqi grammarians many centuries before? That Allah has put in us to language. So a child from an Irish family or a African American family, and put them in China, and put them in a Chinese family, and they will learn Chinese. They'll learn the five tones. They'll be able to distinguish these things. If they didn't have any obstacles to learning, if they were just normal people, they would learn them. It's very difficult to do that as you get older, but you can do it not as well as you could when you were young. So the afaq, Allah will show the signs on the horizon, on that meeting place of the heavens and the earth, and in the selves, in the souls. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Until it becomes manifest to them. يَتَبَيَّن. It becomes manifest to them that this is the truth. This is the truth. And there are many interpretations of these verses. I mean, some of them said that it was the futuhat. The Muslims would have all these futuhat. And that was the sign that they were with God, that they had victories. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the Prophet ﷺ, he showed him the eastern horizons and the western horizons. And he showed him all of the places that his deen would go to. He showed him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually had a dream in Haram's house where he had a dream. He saw the ships of his ummah going out in conquest. And Haram, he laughed when he woke up. And he told her that they would yaghzu al-bahr. And she said, would you ask Allah to make me one of them? And so he made a dua for her. And she was on a ship, and she actually died disembarking from the ship on Cyprus. She's buried there. You can visit her tomb. The Christians actually take care of her tomb. I went there. It's amazing. And it's really well taken care of on the Christian side of Cyprus. But she's there. That she's a miracle of the Prophet ﷺ. And it says this is a companion of the Prophet Muhammad at the tomb. So the Prophet ﷺ saw all these things. So that's one of the things. سَنُّرِيْمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. That's one of the things. But really, this is a metaphysical statement, you know, that if you pursue this path, Allah will show you these signs. But and then there's also the signs, all of the signs that are coming out now. I mean, there's signs now. Stephen Meyer, who's done this amazing work on the cell, he's a Cambridge PhD in microbiology, who's shown how the cell, the evolution cannot explain the cell. It can't explain the cell. It's too complicated. There's too much the language embedded in the cell. From four nucleic acids, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates all of this diversity in creation. نَسْقِيهِ مِنْ مَأْنْ وَاحِدٍ. We give it from one water, right? And it's actually water. If you look into it, it's water that has the effect on the DNA. Because a large part of it is actually water. But that's what actually has the effect, is the water molecules. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنْ مَأْنْ وَاحِدٍ. Ibn Ajiba says it's nakira, because it's not water like the water we know. It's a different type of water. So Allah has made all of this variation in creation. And he says it's all coded. It's coded. There's language there. So these are also signs that are being shown. And at a certain point, you just become a kafir. Like you just are in utter kufr. You know, because some people are genuinely looking for the truth, but when the truth is confronting you and looks you right in the face and you say you don't exist, that's juhud. That's the essence of kufr, is to cover up, to be an ingrate. You know, and the most ungrateful thing you can do is not acknowledge your creator. I mean, it doesn't get much more ungrateful than that. I mean, what do you do? You say thank you, you know? We give standing ovations to great talent, you know, and yet we see a sunset and we don't have a sense of praise, like praising the one that made that. I mean, if you had a sunset once a month, everybody'd go out to watch it. If you had a sunset once a year, think if you had a sunset once in your lifetime, you don't think the whole planet would be out to see that amazing event? But every day, and this is why مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. You know, what has deluded you about your generous Lord? Imam al-Sawi says, أَعَدَّ جَوَابَهُ فِي سُؤَالِهِ. He put the answer in the question. It's your generosity. Because he's so generous, because he's constantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly, his ihsan, the ihsan of Allah is overflowing. So he's saying, you know, we're going to show them the signs. That this is the truth. And then, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِي بِرَبِّكَ أَنُّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. The mushahada is maqam al-ihsan. Is it enough to know that your Lord is witnessing all things? Nothing could exist without his mushahada. If Allah removed his لَا تَأْخُذُوا سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. If Allah removed for one blink of an eye for us, nothing, it would all dissipate. His mushahada is necessary for existence to exist. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in that state of witnessing. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And in the earth are signs for people who have yaqeen. And in your own selves, don't you see?
Can't you see in your son?
The third, so that's the second. The third, أن من عرف نفسه عرف العالم. Whoever knows his soul knows the world, the عالم. ومن عرفها صار في حكم مشاهد لله. And the one who knows the world is in the category of one who is witnessing for God as he is creating. وَهُوَ يَخْرُقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In other words, your whole awareness changes. When you know yourself and you know the world, your whole awareness changes. And you can't see anything without seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind it. This is what Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said, that he saw Allah before, in, and after everything. Meaning the tajalliyat of the attributes of Allah. That the attributes are constantly manifesting to us, whether it's Jamal or Jalal, whether it's Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahir. I mean, if you see, we can only walk a certain way. Allah qaharana ala hadha. He's Al-Qahir. When you see a bird, the way it hops, or a penguin, the way it waddles, that's all Al-Qahir. They can't do anything else. They don't have the freedom to do. They have the freedom to be themselves, to be what they were created to do. خَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ ثُمَّ هَدَى. He created everything and he guided it to its own nature. So then he says, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ كَالْكَفَرَةِ الْجَهَلَى. He won't be like the ingrate ignoramuses. الَّذِينَ أَثْكَلَهُمْ Allahu hadhihi al-manzila, that Allah has deprived them of this station. They deprive themselves. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah, whenever Allah has the mudil, it's always أَضَلَّهُمْ Allah, because they themselves had already gone astray. So he deprives them because they have deprived themselves. فَقَالَ فِيهِمْ مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَرْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَرْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ مُتَّخِذًا مُضَلِّينَ عَضُدًا. So he did not show them the creation of the heavens and the earth because they're astray. If you're rightly guided and if you're asking Allah for that help, what he's saying is Allah will show you. He will show you the creation of the heavens and the earth. He will show you. أَشْهَدُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. He will show you your own selves. You will testify from your own selves. أَرَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. We were witnessing because of that mushahada. And then he says, so that's the third. And then the fourth. أَنُّهُ يَعْرِفُ بِمَعْرِفَةِ رُوحِيَ الْعَالَمَ الرُّحَانِي وبقاؤه وبمعرفة جسد العالم الجسداني وفناؤه فيعرف خصة الفانيات وشرف الباقيات الصالحات. So he says the fourth is that you will know with the knowledge of your ruh, of your nafs, of your soul, that the spiritual world, the immaterial world, you will know its permanence, just as you will know the body and you will know the material world and its evanescence. The fact that it's in a state of annihilation. فَيَعْرِفُ خِصَّةَ الْفَانِيَاتِ. You will know the insignificance of things that are temporal, that do not last. And you will know the nobility and honor of the بَاقِيَةُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. الْمَارُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْبَاقِيَةُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. The بَاقِيَةُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, they're what lasts. The بَاقِيَةُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those are خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. They're better with your Lord. So those are what you will see the virtue in, not in the temporal things. And that's why you will be charitable. You'll be giving charity. You'll be taking care of the orphan. You'll be helping the widow. You'll be building hospitals. You'll be building schools and colleges. You'll be seeking knowledge. You'll be educating. You'll be doing those things that are done with the niyyah of khair, which lasts, and you won't be lost in the vanity fair of this world, the dunya, the ephemeral world. Because you'll see it's خِسَّتَها, that it's not worthy of your attention in that way. والخامس أن من عرف نفسه فقد عرف أعداءه الكامنة فيها. If you know your soul, you will know those hidden enemies in your soul. So the soul has all these things, your default settings, your egotistical nature, your narcissism, your pettiness, your sharah, your appetites, your tama, your covetousness, your desires, your hawa, your passions, all of these things that are your enemies. I mean, the four dominant enemies are nafs, shaitan, hawa, and dunya. Those are the four dominant ones. Nafs, hawa, shaitan, and dunya. So shaitan gets locked up in Ramadan, but nafs, hawa, and dunya are still around. So they wreak most of the havoc. All shaitan can do is suggest. He can't really do, his damage is in his waswasa. But hawa, nafs, those are very damaging. Especially these massive egos, really dangerous people. And the worst type of people are the people that seek power, the people that want to be in charge. There's a very interesting book called Corruptible, which is looking at the fact that corruptibility, that the people that are most susceptible to corruption are the people actually that seek power. And so the worst type of people you want to elect are people that want to be elected. This is the irony. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, in his vast hikmah, the wisest human being that ever lived, he said, we do not give political authority to people that seek it. لَا نُعْطِي هَذَا الْأَمَرْ مَنْ طَرَبَهُ أَوْ حَرَصَ عَلَيْهِ, or covet it once they get it. And one of the signs of a sincere person is you can remove them from a position of authority and they're not bothered by it. In fact, that's one of the tests in the traditional samurai code, was to test people like that. The generals would test there to see. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he took Khalid, who was head of the army, and he made him a foot soldier. Did Khalid object? How dare you? I'm the great general. All these victories are mine. He just did sama'an wa ta'ata. If that's where you want me, that's where I'll be. I mean, that's a very different perspective. وَالْخَامِسُ أَنَّ مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسُهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ أَعْدَاءُهُ الْكَامِنَةُ. So knowledge, and that's why the Prophet said, أَعْدَى عَدُوِّكَ نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ. The worst enemy that you have is your own soul between your two sides. Imam al-Bayhaqi relates that. And Daraqutni. فَيَسْتَعِيدُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْهَا وَمِنْ شَرِّهَا. So he seeks refuge in God, or she seeks refuge in God, from that the evil of their own souls. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, اللهم ألهمني رشدي. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعذني من شر نفسي. Oh Allah, inspire me with my guidance, my prudence, that I act prudently, and give me refuge from the evil of my own soul. This is a dua. And then, Allahumma la takinni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. Don't leave me to myself. You know, don't leave me to myself, even for the blink of an eye. In other words, be my nasir. Don't leave me to my soul, because my soul will take me to destruction. وَمَنْ عَرَفَ أَعْدَاءُهُ الْكَامِنَةُ وَمَكَامِنَهَا. Whoever knows those hidden enemies and their machinations, all the hidden things in them, all the subtleties and the ways that they do these things. وَكَيْفِيَةِ إِنْبِعَاثِهَا. And the nature of what incites the nafs, what provokes it, the provocations of the self, knowing the nature of the provocations of the self. فَحَرِيٌ أَنْ يَحْتَرِزَ مِنْهَا. That one will be capable of guarding against his or her soul. وَأَنْ يُجَاهِدَهَا لِيَسْتَحَقَّ مَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. And to struggle against the soul in order to warrant, to be worthy of what God has promised that person who is amongst the people who struggle against his soul in the way of God. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبَلَنَا. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That those who do mujahada for our sake, and that was in Mecca, that was before any type of outward defense or jihad was mentioned. So this is a Meccan verse, and it's about the struggle against the soul. الْمُجَاهِدُ مَنْ جَاهَدَ هَوَاهُ. Right? So he says that if you do mujahada in your soul, Allah will guide you to His ways. Not the sabil, the subal, the many ways of God, because God has many ways in the world that He's working, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is working. And then he says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرَفْهَا فَجِدِيرٌ أَنْ يَتَرَاءَ لَهُ عَدُوُهُ الَّذِي هُوَ الْهَوَى بِصُورَةِ الْعَقْرِ فَيُسَوِّرُ لَهُ الْبَاطِلَ بِصُورَةِ الْحَقِّ وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ الْهَوَى شَيْطَانٌ بَرْقَالَ هُوَ إِلَهٌ يُعْبَدُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. So if he doesn't know his soul and knows these hidden enemies, then it's easy for his enemy to appear to him, which is his own passion, in the form of intelligence. It'll come in the form of reason, and will make falsehood appear to be truth. It will make falsehood appear to be truth. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-hawa shaitan. Shaitan is whatever diverts you from Allah. That's shaitana is to make you distant from God, to take you away. Kafka said, is a beautiful definition. Evil is whatever distracts. It's what distracts you from reality. It's what takes you away from reality. And so that's why hawa is a shaitan, because it takes you away from your true self, from your own essence. I mean, this is what Dr. Cleary used to talk about, the host and the guest. That don't be fooled by the uninvited guest who takes over your house, your spiritual house, your abode, your internal abode, the self. When you get angry, that's an uninvited guest, because you don't want to get angry. Who's you? Who's getting angry? Like, I got angry today. Who got angry? Because if you didn't want to, and yet you did, what's that conflict in the soul? Those are the things that you're struggling against. Those are the internal enemies that he's talking about, the uninvited hosts, guests that come in and completely wreak havoc on the host. And one of the biggest problems for humans is they begin to associate the uninvited guests with themselves. And they fall into despair because they think it's them. They don't know. لَوْ عَرَفَ الْإِنسَانَ قِيمَةَ قَلْبِهِ لَوْ أَدْرَكَ الْإِنسَانَ لَذَّةَ سِرِّهِ. If man but knew, if the human being but knew our reality and who we are. And so then he says, فَقَدْ رُوِيَ أَنُّهُ قَالْ مَا عُبِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ أَبْغَضُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْهَوَى. Nothing has been worshipped, no god, no idol or deity has been worshipped in the earth more odious to Allah than al-hawa. So hawa is one of those comprehensive words in Arabic. It's got the idea of passion. It's got the idea of appetite. It's got the idea of desire. It's got the idea. It's interestingly the word that traditionally was used for heresy. So ahwa, if you read in the books of Kalam, usually they mean ahlul ahwa are the heretics, because they followed their own, you know, the word heraseia in Greek means to choose for yourself. So heresy is when you depart from the revelation or from the jama'ah and you just follow yourself. It's interesting that hawa, you know, which is passion, you know, buggery, which is an Anglo-Saxon word for sodomy, but buggery, the original meaning was heresy. So even in the Western tradition, they had an understanding of the relationship between, because sinfulness that's done openly is it's you're in rebellion, complete rebellion to God. Because sinfulness that's hidden, the Prophet ﷺ said that لا تزر أمتي بخير ما لم تجاهر بالكبائر. My ummah will remain in a good state as long as they don't openly do enormities, as long as they don't openly do major sins. Once they do it openly, يوشك أن يعمهم عذاب الله. Then you know that the عذاب is coming. It's just the nature of it. Because hypocrisy, as a wise Frenchman said, is the homage that vice pays to virtue. You know, hypocrisy, when somebody's being hypocritical, what they're saying is, I should be good. But once they just come out with their foulness, it means that they don't even care about being good or pretending to be good. And that's why one of the worst things about this culture is this idea, you know, like, oh, I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, it's just let it all hang out. Just do whatever and just, who cares what other people think? Who cares what other people think? Who cares what the children think? Who cares? All these things that are happening now. Because decency and the respect for common decency is what holds a society together. And once you lose that, it begins to fragment, and then it dissipates until you don't have a society anymore. You just have a community of animals. And that's what he's saying. They're not even in sand. They're not Nes-Nes. They're not Nes. They might look like Nes, but they're not Nes. There's something else. Like Shakespeare, you know, has the man, proud man, but man, proud man, dressed in a little brief authority, most ignorant of what he's most assured of, his glassy essence like an angry ape that plays such high trick, that plays fantastic tricks before high heaven as make the angels weep, right? I mean, that's what he's talking about, this angry ape, you know, the somebody who's not achieved his humanity. And this is what our religion's calling us to, what Nietzsche said, Islam presupposes men. I mean, our Lord actually has a high opinion of us. And Iblis wants to prove God wrong. That's his whole effort. I'm going to show you, you made a mistake. And that's his whole effort, is just to humiliate, denigrate, degrade the human being. And then just say, look at that. But Allah said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I saw Marabt al-Hajj. Nobody can take that away from me. A man who lived for 112 years in complete open society. No doors on his house. There's a tent. You could see him 24/7. No shadow self. I saw that. I lived with him. I've traveled and lived with Sheikh Abdullah bin Bay. I've seen the people of righteousness and how they behave and how they act. So there are those people. And those are the people that are a proof against the rest of us. These salihun. And many of them are hidden. I mean, these are people that now, Marabt al-Hajj was hidden for a long time, but these are people that many people know. But there are many people hidden. They're simple people. They're not even scholars. They're not always scholars. Really simple people that live upright, beautiful lives, that take care of people, that do hidden things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the people Allah is looking at. Those are the people, virtuous lives. Those are the lives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates. Not vicious lives. Oppression is not some kind of ontological status. If you're oppressed, and virtuous, you have a place with God. But oppression, just to be oppressed, the Quran says that they're in hell. There are people, الَّذِينَ اسْتَضْعِفُوا, right? قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. There's a conversation they have in hell. The oppressed with their oppressors. لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ كُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. If it wasn't for you, we would have been believers. And Allah says, that the oppressors say to them, أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنَ الْهُدَى بَعْدِ جَاءَكُمْ. What, we stopped you from guidance after it came to you? بَلْ كُنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ. No, you were criminals just like us. You're just little criminals. Right? I mean, the taxi driver that's cheating you, and then he says he's oppressed. You know, there's people, don't make moral equivalencies between people that grow up in the same circumstances, same conditions, and they don't choose the ways of crime. They don't choose the ways of viciousness. They choose the ways of virtue. You can't make moral equivalence between them. Allah can give people tawbah. That's a good thing. Tawbah is the best thing. But Allah is calling us to virtue. And then he says the sixth thing. أَنَّ مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسُهُ أَحْسَنَ أَنْ يَسُوسَهَا وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ أَنْ يَسُوسَ نَفْسُهُ أَحْسَنَ أَنْ يَسُوسَ الْعَالَمِ فَيَصِيرَ مِنْ خُلَفَاءِ إِلَهِ تَعَالَى الْمَذْكُرِينَ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You know, one thing, so يَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So the sixth is, if you know yourself, you will become good at governing the self. You will be good at governing the self. And whoever's good at governing the self then would be good at governing the world. And you will become among the khulafa of God, the vicegerents. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I'm putting in the earth a vicegerent to take care of the earth. But if you don't take care of yourself, and that's why the dhari'a, which is his other book, the dhari'a, ila makarim al-shari'a, is the means by taking on these noble qualities to become a caliph, the khalifa. This is the maqam that Allah is calling us to. And so he's saying that if you know yourself, you will be able to govern yourself. And if you govern yourself, you can govern the world. If you govern the world, you're amongst the khulafa. يَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He will put you in the earth. That can mean يَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ, he replaces you from the people that are before you. So we like the Khalifa, Abu Bakr was Khalifa to Rasulillah. So he was the one who was in place. He stood in place. He was a replacement for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's one of the meanings. But it also means the one who. So Khalafa means to leave behind. Khalfiyah is your background. Khilaf is your difference of opinion. Like, so different backgrounds are going to end up in Khilaf. If you don't know how to govern yourself. In fact, you know, I was reading a book the other day about Robert's Rules of Order. It was very interesting because the man who wrote that book, Herbert Robert, he was an engineer, but he was a deacon at a Baptist church, and he was heading a meeting that got totally out of control, and everybody started yelling, and he didn't have any way of controlling it. So he spent the next, like, 15 years thinking deeply about meetings and how to govern meetings. And so he created Robert's Rules to help people be able to sit together and actually talk with one another. So that's a knowledge. Like if you're committed to following that, Allah says, تَحْسِبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى ذَلِكَ بِأَنُّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. You think they're all together, but they're not. They're separate. Their hearts are separate. Why? Because they have no intellect. They don't have intellect. If you had intellect, you'd be united, at least in sitting down to discuss things intelligently. People can't even talk anymore. Look out there. They can't even talk. People can't even sit down. We can't even discuss, like, is it wise to cut the organs and healthy organs off adolescent children? Is that a wise thing to do? We can't even discuss that. We can't even talk about it. It's just, oh, you're transphobic. No, I'm actually just trying to think about the welfare of the child, because apparently most of these people are resolved by the time they get to 18 or 19 years of old. So shouldn't we wait a little time? Doesn't that make sense? Just to wait? We can't talk about it. You're not allowed to talk about it. We can't even talk anymore. That's how bad it is. And so that's what, you know, if you want to be a caliph, you have to work on yourself. You have to do the work. And that's why he begins this with ma'rifat of the soul, if you know that. And then he says that not only will you be khulafa, he says, وَمِنَ الْمُلُوكِ الْمَذْكُورِينَ, you'll be muluk. وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكَ. And this went when Musa عليه السلام, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكَ. He Moses was told to tell his people, remember, Allah made all these prophets from you, because كَانَ يَسُوسُمْ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. The Prophet ﷺ said, that Banu Israel kana yasusuhum al-anbiya. Every time a prophet would die, God would give them another prophet, and they would govern them. They were governed by prophets. And that's why, waja'alakum muluka, because Ibn Abbas said that Bani Israel said that anybody who had a spouse and a house, they were and a servant, was a king. That was a malik. Like if you had those three things, you were malik. So Allah's amtanna alayhim, and he's saying, I gave you these blessings. I made you kings. I gave you houses. I gave you spouses. I gave you servants. Where's the gratitude? Where's the gratitude? There's a man from the Muhajirin who came to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and he said to him, Alasna min fuqara al-Muhajirin? Aren't we from amongst the poor people of the Muhajirin? He said, Alaka baytun taskunuhu? Ya na'am. Do you have a house you live in? He said, Alaka imra'atun tu'wi ilayha? Do you have a woman that you can go to? He said, na'am. He said, Alaka baytun taskunuhu? Do you have a house you live in? He said, na'am. He said, إذن أنت من الأغنياء لست من الفقراء. You're from the rich people. You're not from the poor people. And then he said, عندي خادم. He said, I have a servant. He said, أنت ملك. You're a king. This is the ingratitude of human beings. There's, you know, poor people in America, I swear to God, they're rich in many countries. The poor people in this country, they're rich in many countries. If you go to Mauritania, I can show you real poverty. And those people in Mauritania, because I live with some of the poorest people on the planet, they're much richer than some of the richest people in this country. Much richer. Spiritually, intellectually, in terms emotionally, psycho-emotional states of their minds. But you meet poor people, and I mean, I've met one of the beautiful aspects of Islam is, one, the Prophet ﷺ chose to be poor. And he did it for the majority of his ummah. He was given the choice to be like Sulaiman, or to be, and he chose to be Nabiyun Abd, like a slave servant, a slave prophet, not a king prophet, because Allah has both. So he chose to be, and he did this desiring for his ummah to see, well, if this is the best of creation, when Aisha brought all the possessions of the Prophet out, It was two garments and a bowl that he used to wash with. That was his possession. That's what he left behind. He didn't leave anything behind. It's amazing. And he could have been the richest man in the world, physical, material wealth, but he chose to be poor. But one of the beauties of poverty in the Muslim world, and I'm talking about traditional, I'm not talking about modern Muslim world, because I've seen traditional Muslim places, and I'm not romanticizing or being nostalgic about it. I lived it, I saw it. I saw ghetto before there was electricity. It's not some kind of romantic version of what I saw. Those people have dignity with their poverty. They have dignity. And that's the difference. Our poverty does not allow people to be dignified. And that's why it's an ugly poverty. It's a horrible poverty. It doesn't allow people to be dignified. Is it because the poor will always have? This is the nature of dunya. The Marxists tried to eliminate it, and they had to kill millions of people, and they still couldn't do it. All these people talking about, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Don't believe any of it. They're all liars. Just liars. The seventh reason, أَنَّ مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسُهُ لَمْ يَجِدْ عَيْبًا مَنْ أَحَدًا إِلَّا رَآهُ مَوْجُودًا فِي ذَاتِهِ إِمَّا ظَاهِرًا مُتَعِيِّنًا أَوْ كَامِنًا فِيهِ كَكُمُونَ النَّارِ فِي الْحَجَرِ فَلَا يَكُونُ هَمَّازًا وَلَا لَمَّازًا وَلَا عَيَّابًا فَإِنَّ كُلَّ عَيْبٍ تَرَاءَ لَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ وَجَدَهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ رَأَى عَيْبَ نَفْسِهِ فجدير أن يكون ممن دعا له النبي في قوله رحم الله امرأ شغله عيبه عن عيوب الناس. This is an amazing statement here. So he says the seventh reason why you should know yourself is that you won't find faults in others, because you will see those faults are in you, in your own essence, either manifest or hidden like fire in flint. In other words, if you were in the same condition, because you can look at people and you can think you wouldn't do that if you were in that sin. But you don't know. You don't know how you would behave. You don't know. I mean, you see somebody who's addicted to drugs out on the street, and if you had the same life journey of that person, you don't know. You don't know. One would hope but you don't know. People say, you know, they look at these tyrants in the Muslim world. The vast majority of Muslims, if they got into the same power, they would probably be worse. But they think, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd be upright and just and do all this justice. That's what they think, because they're deluded. They've never been tempted like that. It's like these celebrities. People don't know what it's like to be one of those people, the level of temptations that they have. Right? They don't know, because they've never been tempted like that. So when you see people, there's a kind of shafaqah. And that's why Ibn Atayla, one of the things that he says, that if Allah reveals to you the faults of people without rahmah in your heart, it's a fitna for you. The Prophet had shafaqah for people of ibtira. And that's why Imam Malik, radiallahu anhu, in Kitab al-Jami', he mentions Isa, alayhi salam, he said, لَا تَذْكُرُوا عَيُوبَ النَّاسِ كَأَنُّكُمْ أَرْبَابٌ لَكِنْ أُذْكُرُوا عِيُوبُكُمْ كَأَنُّكُمْ عَبِيدٌ. Don't mention the faults of others as if you're lords, but remember your own faults as you are servants. And then he said, النَّاسُ صِنْفَانٌ, people are two, مُبْتَلَى وَمُعَافَى. They're either in tribulation or they're in well-being. And so he said, فَرْحَمُوا أَهْلَ الْبَلَىٰ وَحْمَدَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعَافِيَةِ. So have mercy on those who are in tribulation and praise God for well-being. So that's really important. So he says, he would not be hamaz and lamaz. وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. So the hamaz is ayyab. It's somebody ta'an fi a'rad an-nas. People find faults in other people. They're always talking about other people's faults. They never mention their own faults. They always mention their other people's faults. The lamaz, lams is more like, you know, nudge nudge, wink wink, rolling the eyes. You know, people do that. Like somebody's talking, the person behind them, they roll their eyes, like at that person. That's lams. So you know, hamaz, lamaz, ayyab, fault finder. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ عَيْبٍ تَرَأَى لَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ وَجَدَهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. Whatever fault, he sees it. وَمَنْ رَاعَ عَيْبَ نَفْسِهِ فَجَدِيرٌ أَنْ يَكُمْ مِمَّنْ دَعَى لَهُ النَّبِيِّ. Whoever finds his own faults, then he will be among those. It's appropriate that he should be amongst those who the Prophet prayed for when he said, may Allah have mercy on a man or a person who preoccupied with his or her own faults, did not see the faults of others. Like, so شَغَرْهُ عَيْبُهُ, his own fault preoccupied him from the faults of others. وَمَعْرِفَةُ عَيْبَ النَّفْسِ صَعْبٌ. It's difficult to know the faults of yourself. It's difficult to know the faults of yourself. Why? إِنَّ كُلَّ إِنسَانْ يُحِبُّ نَفْسُهُ. Because people love themselves. The human being loves themselves. When that love becomes excessive, it's narcissism. But human beings love themselves. And Allah made us to love ourselves. Allah loves His self. Allah made us to love ourselves. قُوْ أَنفُسْكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. Save your own selves first, and then your families. Like when you're on the plane, they always give that message when the oxygen comes down. First put it on yourself. Like before you can help somebody else, you have to help yourself. And so then he says, because حُبُّهُ لَهَا يُعْمِيهِ عَمَّ عَيْبِهَا, your love of yourself will blind you from yourself's faults. And that's why one of the great blessings of sohbah, real sohbah, you know, like true companionship. And this was the original purpose of like the, you know, the what they called the fuqara, the qawm, people that came. It was actually to so that they could show one another their faults, to help them become better. Now people get angry if you try to help somebody, they get angry. But that's one of the great blessings. The Prophet said, "Al-mu'minu mir'atu akhihi." The mu'min is the mirror of his or her brother or sister. What does that mean? What do you use a mirror for? Well, if you're a narcissist, you use it to admire yourself. You know, just. But if you're an intelligent person, you're going to look, you know, to clean up your mess, the egg on your face from breakfast, right? It's actually to fix your hair or do something, to actually correct the defects. The Prophet looked at the mirror and he took very good care of his hair. There's actually a chapter of taking care of your hair in the books of Shema'il. He said, whoever's been given hair, let him honor the hair. You know, because it's a blessing to have hair. I mean, the three men, one of them was bald. On the three men that the angel comes. Do you know that hadith? That's my favorite hadith. I actually thought I wanted to do a children's story of that hadith, because it's such a good hadith. You know, the angel, Allah sent an angel to these three different men. And so the first one, there was a bald man, a blind man, and a man who had skin disease. So he went to the skin disease, and he came in the angel came and asked him what he wanted. And he said he wanted his skin to be good. And so he said, and he cured him. And then he said, what kind of livestock do you like? He told him, oh, I like sheep. No, I think it was camels or cattle. And then he goes to the next one, and he's bald. He said, oh, I want hair. And then what kind of animals do you like? Cattle. So he gives him that. Then he goes to the blind man. He said, I want to see. So he gives him his sight. And then years later, he comes back in the form, for the first man, in the form of somebody with skin disease. And he asked him for charity. And he said, won't you give me one of your animals? He said, no, I don't have time for that. He shooes him away. He said, weren't you like me? And God bless you with this. He said, no, I was always like this. And he said, well, if you're lying, may God return you to your original state. So all his animals died, and he got the skin disease again. Same with the man who goes, he went as a bald man to the man without hair. He said, weren't you bald like me? He said, no, I've always had this hair. My dad's had this hair. Right? And then he said, oh, if you're lying. When he went to the blind man, he saw himself. He said, take whatever you want, because you remind me of the way I was before Allah blessed me. But what was interesting in the hadith, the blind man wanted to see people. That's why he asked for his sight. He said, li aran nas, so I can see people. The other ones were worried about how people saw them. You see? So it's right there. Yeah, that when that's your concern. حُبُّكَ شَيْءَ يُعْمِي وَيُصِمْ. Like, to your love of a thing will blind you to that thing and make you deaf to hearing any criticisms of it. وَالْأَعْمَى وَالْأَصَمْ عَنْ عَيْبَ الشَّيْءِ قَدْ يُعْجَبُ بِهِ وَلَا ضَرَرَ أَعْظَمْ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ إِعْجَابِهِ بِنَفْسِهِ فَقَدْ قَالَ بَعْضُ الْحُكَمَاءِ الْكَاذِبُ فِي نِهَايَةِ الْبُعْدِ عَنِ الْحَقِّ وَالْمُرَائِي أَسْوَأُ حَالًا مِنَ الْكَاذِبِ لِأَنَّ الْكَاذِبَ يَكْذِبُ بِقَوْلِهِ فَقَطْ وَالْمُرَائِي يَكْذِبُ بِقَوْلِهِ وَفِعْلِهِ جَمِيعًا. So he said, there's no harm worse for a human being than to be enamored of himself, to be impressed with himself. Because some of the wise men said, the liar is in great distance from the truth. And the ostentatious one, the show-off, the murai is more doing eye service. He's doing it so other people will think something of him. Is in a worse condition than the liar. Because the liar is lying with his words, but the murai lies with his words and his deeds. Right? But he said, but worse than them, وَأَسْوَأُ حَالًا قَالَ وَأَسْوَأُ حَالًا مِنْهُمَا الْمُعْجَبُ بِنَفْسِهِ. The one who's amazed at his own self. لِأَنَ الْكَاذِبَ وَالْمُرَائِيَ قَدْ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِمَا. The liar and the hypocrite, maybe some people will benefit from them. وَالْمُعْجَبُ بِنَفْسِهِ. But the one impressed with himself, لَا نَفَعْ فِيهِ بِوَجْهٍ. There's no benefit will come from him in any way. لِأَنَّهُمَا قَدْ يَنْجَعُ وَعَضُكَ فِيهِمَا لِعِلْمِهِمَا بِنَفْسَيْهِمَا. Because the first two, you can exhort them, and that exhortation might be salutary. It might have a beneficial effect on them because of their knowledge of their own souls. So the liar knows he's a liar, and the mura'i knows he's a mura'i. But the one مُعْجِب بِنَفْسِهِ, he's not talking about me. He couldn't be talking about me. You know? I mean, I gave a khutbah once. This is a true story. I gave a khutbah. This man came up to me afterwards, why were you talking about me in that khutbah? He got so angry. I knew the person, you know. I mean, I think I said something about, you know, these people that drive around in big cars and I don't know. Younger days. But he just thought I was talking about him, and I wasn't talking about him, but he was convinced that I was talking about him. But that was actually a good sign. Right? That's the way a khutbah should be. You should think in the wa'ad that the khatib is talking about you. But other people think, he's not talking about me. He must be talking about, he's talking about Abdullah. Yeah, Abdullah does that all the time. Can't be me. Right? وَالْمَعْجُبُ لِجَهْلِهِ بِهَا, because he's totally ignorant of his own soul. يَظُنُّكَ فِي وَعَضِكَ إِيَّاهُ مُلْغِيًا, he doesn't think that you're giving any exhortation to him. It couldn't mean him. The eighth, أَنَّ مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسُهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَقَدْ رُوِيَ أَنُّهُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابٍ إِلَّا وَفِيهِ اِعْرَفْ نَفْسَكَ يَا إِنسَان تَعْرَفْ رَبَّكَ. This is amazing. So he says the eighth reason is that whoever knows his soul knows his Lord, knows Allah. Because it's been related, there's no book that has ever been revealed from God except in it was something akin to, know yourself, O human being, you will know your Lord. وهذا معنى قوله تعالى سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق. So he's saying that that's the verse in the Quran that has that meaning. Know yourself and you will know your Lord. Right? So that there's a famous hadith which says من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. Imam Nawawi said laysa bi thabit, there's no confirmation of it. Ibn Taymiyyah and other scholars have said it's a fabricated hadith, it's mawdu'. Some of them say that it's from, like in Al-Ajluni's book on hadith, he says that it's from Yahya ibn Mu'adh al-Razi, who was a great kind of mystic, that Imam al-Dhahabi says that he was min a'immat al-kibar wa lahu wa'ad jayyid. He was from the great imams of his time, and he was famous for his exhortations. So some say it's from him. Ibn Arabi said he considered it absolutely sound in terms of its meaning. And Imam Masyuti wrote in his Al-Hawil al-Fatawi, he has a little epistle, risala, called Al-Qawl al-Ashbah fi hadithi man arafa nafsuhu faqad arafa rabbah. You know, the kind of the most appropriate statement about the hadith. And he says that it's not a hadith, but he gives different interpretations of the meaning. So the point he's making here is that the meaning is sound. So he gives three ta'wilat. Asyuti actually gives several also, but he gives three ta'wilat. أحدها أن بمعرفة النفس يتوصل إلى معرفة الله كقولك اعرف العربية تعرف الفقه. The first is that knowledge of your soul will enable you to reach to knowledge of God, in the same way that we say something like, know Arabic and you'll be able to know fiqh, jurisprudence. In other words, بِمَعْرِفَةَ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ يُتَوَصُرُ إِلَى مَعْرِفَةَ الْفِقْهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ بَيْنُهُمَا وَسَائِلٌ. So through knowledge of Arabic, it's a means in which it will enable you to learn fiqh or jurisprudence, even though between them are intermediaries, like you can't go directly to that. The second meaning, وَالثَّانِي أَنَّهُ إِذَا حَصَرَتْ مَعْرِفَةُ النَّفْسِ حَصَرَ بِحُصُورِهَا مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِلَا فَاصِلٍ. So if you knowledge of the self is achieved, then through its knowledge of God is achieved without any falsehood. You know, there's no كَقَوْدِكَ بِطُرُوعَ الشَّمْسِ يَحْصُرَ الضَّوْ, in the same meaning as when the sun comes up, the light comes out. فَيَكُونَ الضَّوءُ مُقْتَرِنًا بِطُرُوعِهَا. In other words, the light is coupled with the rise of the sun. غَيْرَ مُتَأَخِرًا عَنْهَا بِزَمَانٍ. It's not delayed. So he's saying that through knowledge of yourself, you will have knowledge of your Lord. And for instance, you know, if you know yourself, if you know your iftiqar, then you'll know Allah is ghani. If you know that your fani, you'll understand that Allah is baqi. That's one level. The other is what in Christian scholasticism, what they call the imago dei, which is the image of God, that man was created in the image of God. And there's a hadith that says, ala surat al-Rahman. There's a lot of khilaf about this. But the point is, it's not the image of God in, there's no form. God has no form. God is infinite with no form. God cannot be in place or time. Because you can't, if you put God in place, then yatahayyazu fi hayyiz. I mean, you all studied this in Aqidah. But the point is that Allah has, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. He has given us the means by which we understand something about our Lord. So he has given us these seven attributes. So we have existence. So Allah has existence. We have wujud. And then we have reason. We have aql. So logos, intelligibility. That Allah has ilm. Right? We have sight. Allah has given us sight. So we know Allah has basar. Allah is basir. He's given us ear, hearing. We know Allah is sami'. He's given us life, so we know Allah has life, right? So though that is the meaning, that through knowing ourselves, we can know something about our Lord. Even though all of it's canceled out in reality, our hearing compared to God's hearing is zero. There's not, you can't compare the finite to the infinite. But it's a taqrib, it's an approximation to give us some knowledge of our Lord. So if you know yourself, and you understand your attributes, you will know your Lord. So then he says the third is وَثَالِثُ أَنَّ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَيْسَتْ تَثْبُتُ إِلَّا أَن تَعْرِفَ النَّفْسِ لِأَنَّكَ إِذَا عَرَفْتَهَا عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ فَقَدْ عَرَفْتَ الْعَالَمِ. So if you know yourself in reality, then you will know the world. فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ الْعَالَمِ فَقَدْ عَرَفْتَ أَنَّهُ مُحْدَثُ. If you know the world, you'll know that it was created. وَأَنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ مُحْدِثٍ. And you will know that there has to be a creator. لَا يُشْبِحُ الْمُحْدَثِ. That cannot resemble the created thing. بِوَجْهٍ. In any way, shape, or form. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ غَايَةُ مَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So that's the extent of your knowledge. وَقَالُوا وَعَلَى هَذَا دَلَّ مَعْنَى قَوْلَ الْأَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَجْهُهُ إِنَّ الْعَقْلَ لِإِقَامَةِ رَسْمِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ لَا لِإِدْرَاكِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. That the intellect was given us to establish our servanthood to God, not to realize the reality of our Lord. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأَ يَقُولُ مِنَ الْبَصِيرِ كَيْفِيَةُ النَّفْسِ لَيْسَ الْمَرْءُ يَعْرُفُهَا فَكَيْفَ كَيْفِيَةُ الْجَبَّارِ فِي الْقِدَمِ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ الْأَشْيَاءَ مُبْتَدِئًا فَكَيْفَ يُدْرِكُ مُسْتَحْدَثُ النَّسَمِ. So the howness of yourself, لَيْسَ الْمَرْءُ يَعْرُفُهَا. You know, Imam al-Ghazali wrote a famous poem about this, but he says, you know, like you're asking how Allah istawa ala al-arsh, you don't even know how the water you drank ends up urine. You know, you don't know how the bread you ate ends up, you know, energy in your body. Like, you don't know what's between your own two sides. So how can you know anything about Allah? So that aspect of it, is, you know, you don't know. فَكَيْفَ كَيْفِيَةَ الْجَبَارِ فِي الْقَدْمِ. How could you know the Jabbar in his eternity, in God's eternity? هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ الْأَشْيَاءَ مُبْتَدِيَةَ. Allah is the one who began everything. He initiated everything. فَكَيْفَ يُدْرِكُ مُسْتَحْدَثُ النَّسَمِ. So how can the one who is a created soul, the nesama, how could that one understand God? And then also, العجز عن درك الإدراك إدراكه والبحث عن سر ذات السر إشراكه. Our inability to know God is knowledge of God. والبحث عن سر ذات السر إشراكه. And any attempt to penetrate the mystery of the essence will end up in shirk, in associating with God. وفي سرائر همات الورى همم عن ذا الذي عجزت جن وأملاكه. and in the hidden aspirations of creation are aspirations. You know, the concerns of the creation are aspirations. عن الذي عجزت جن وأملاكه, about what the jinn and the angels were incapable of comprehending. يهدي إليه الذي منه إليه هدى مستدركا وولي الله مدراكه. So he will guide them to him. الذي منه إليه هدى, from him to him is guidance, and he will achieve it. And the wali of Allah is midrak. The wali of Allah will arrive. وقال تعالى نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم. They forgot God, and so God caused them to forget themselves. تنبيها على أنهم لو عرفوا أنفسهم لعرف الله فلما جهلوه دل جهلهم إياه على جهلهم إياها. So they forgot God, and so God caused them to forget themselves. Again, reminding us that if they knew themselves, they would know God. But when they were ignorant of them, it indicated their ignorance of God. عَلَى جَهَدِهِمْ إِيَّاهَا. Their ignorance. So, you know, nisyan, forgetting ourselves. Kierkegaard, the Danish Christian philosopher, said something very interesting. He said, a human being, the most dangerous thing in the world is to lose oneself. It was very interesting because the Quran talks in many verses, several verses, about خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. You know, they lost themselves. خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. And so he said, the most dangerous thing in the world is to lose yourself. And then he said, a man can lose 5 kroner and he would be aware of it, like $5. He'd be aware of it. A man could lose his arm, he'd certainly be aware of it. You could even lose a finger, you'll be aware of it. You can even lose a fingernail, you'll be aware of it. You lose a spouse, you'll be aware of it. But he said, but a man can lose himself and not even be aware of it. I mean, that is amazing. So, ma'rifat al-insan nafsuhu. That's what he's calling us to. The next chapter is ذكر أجناس الموجودات وموضع الإنسان منها. So he mentions the different types of created things and the position of the human being from them, in relation to them. الحمد لله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفر وأتوب إليك والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك, ومن طاعتك ما تبلغ به جنتك, ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا, ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا, واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا, وانصرنا على من عادانا, ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا, ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا, ولا غاية رغبتنا, ولا إلى النار مصيرنا, ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك ولا يرحمنا فينا يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك, وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, والسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين.